origin is. But I had a friend, was very curious about where his origin was, because he's always told me, like, listen, Ron, I'm Italian and Polish, but I think there's more. I said, yeah, okay. And then he's like, I'm really thinking about taking a DNA test to figure out what that more is, because I feel like there's more to me than just the fact that, you know, my parents are, you know, have Italian in them and Polish in them. So I want to know what else am I. So finally, one day, he decided to take the DNA test. And then when he got the DNA test back, he called me. He said, Ron, you won't guess what my DNA test said. I said, well, let me take a stab at it, okay? You're Italian, and you're Polish. He said, yeah. But there's another percentage of me that you won't believe. He said, I have a little Jewish in me. And I was like, whoa. And then he's like, now I'm part of the chosen people. So I was like, good for you. But it's amazing that we want to take these DNA tests to know who we are. In fact, many people have done that, and to their surprise, they discover who they really are, or what their DNA heritage and lineage is. There's a person named Jay Spates, and he also wanted to know who he was, because his father always told him, like, listen, we're trying to figure out who we are, because when our ancestors came here as slaves, but we don't know which part of Africa we came from. And so finally, after his father passed away, he decided to, you know, I need to figure out who we are. And so he went to submit his DNA test, and then finally, when he received the DNA mail in the letter, he opened it and said, and there was one big word across, and it says, royal DNA. Right? You know what that means, right? That means you have royalty in your blood. That you are related to what? And to his, he's trying to figure out where. And he is actually royalty to a West African country called Benin. Obviously, most of our geographic is not that good, right? We don't know where it is. Don't worry. West Africa, okay? So he found, oh my goodness, and so, you know, he called mom, and he tried to call the king and said, like, you know, I'm your cousin, so many distant cousins, the king, like, I don't speak English. So finally the queen calls him back, and they had a conversation. And next you know, he's invited back to the country, and they receive him like a prince. It's amazing, isn't it? That to all of a sudden find out that, you know, you really, just plain and simple and the average person, all of a sudden to discover, I'm royalty. Such a profound discovery, isn't it? It changes your perspective on the value you have about your life, doesn't it? Right? Imagine if you find out, like, listen, I'm related to the old emperor of China. I mean, it changes the perspective, right, of you. Like, you have royal DNA in you, and it changes your almost status. Well, I'd like to suggest to you this, is that, you know, you don't need to take a DNA test to do this. That, in fact, each and every single one of us who are Christian, you ready? We have royal DNA in us. That each and every single one of us as Christians, we have this royal spiritual DNA in us, that we are children of God. And that's why the gospel is so good news. The gospel is really good news is because through Jesus, you and I are able to receive a new identity, and this new identity isn't just a plain identity. This new identity is a royal identity. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want, you can read along with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 17. And it reads, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. So that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're God's children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is such a beautiful passage. I love this passage. But before we jump into the text, let me set up this text for you, because, you know, in our modern day age, let's be honest. So let me set up the text to give you a little better understanding. Now, I love the book of Romans. The book of Romans is such a, I guess, as you can say, a deep examination of what John said in 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish. What John used with one verse, the Apostle Paul decided to say, I'm going to write a whole book about it. And so the book of Romans is really the Apostle Paul explaining this gospel that he's preaching to the Gentiles. And this gospel, he tells us, is of the story of God's salvation to God's people and to the Gentiles as well. He tells us that, listen, before you actually have a relationship with God, you are dead to your sins. Right? Romans chapter 3. Right? And when you're dead to your sins, he said, oh, let me tell you, when you are dead to your sins, there's a consequence. And that is God. And then he tells us this intrinsic move and how God does this. That, you know, God wanted to save people. And here is Jesus who comes in this picture. And he saves the people of humanity through the death of his own life. And it is through his blood that there is brought redemption. And there's freedom for us. And therefore we are no longer slaves. But now he tells us even more profound understanding of this text. He tells us this, that we are no longer slaves, but there's one more step. And that is we've been adopted into the family of God. Now, to understand adoption and the movement of this, we have to understand the Roman world. It was very common for the Roman world to adopt people. I'll give you a very famous example. Did you know that Julius Caesar had no heir? He had no son. Are those of you who are history people, any of you? Good. Right? He had no heir, so what did he do? And we know Julius Caesar was part of this powerful family. But he had no heir to his family. So what did he do? Anybody? Smart people? Who did he adopt? He adopted Augustus Caesar, who was the next emperor of Rome. And so it was very common for people that did not have heirs to adopt someone to receive their inheritance. So it was very common in the Roman world, this concept of adoption. In fact, this word adoption in the Greek, it basically means to place as son. Now, it was very common, but we have to understand this. There's a difference between slave and free people and those who are adopted. If you're a slave in the Roman world, you're the lowest class. You have no rights. You're just property that's owned. You don't get to decide what you want to do. You don't get to decide where you're going to go. Your whole life is to obey that master. Right? And so Paul says this, that before Christ came, you and I were slaves to sin. That there was a master over us that told us everything that we were going to do with our life. And that was slave. That was sin. Sin had total control over us. And that it caused us to constantly want to draw away from God. But guess what? In the Roman world, if you were a slave, you could not be adopted. In the Roman world, if you were a slave, you could not be adopted. You actually had to go through a process first. First, as a slave, you have to be freed by your master. So your master couldn't adopt you and make you a son unless he freed you. Right? And so in the Roman world, if a slave was going to be adopted to be made as a son, he has to go first through the process of being set free. Interesting, the Apostle Paul uses this word, because isn't that exactly what he did? What Jesus did was first to set us free from sin. But if he just set us free from sin, that doesn't mean that you and I are going to have an inheritance. And so there has to be this adoption process to be made as son. Why is this so important? And what was the adoption process like? When the adoption process in the Roman world is quite actually intricate. They have this big ceremony, and when a person is adopted, they renounce all their familial lineage from the past family they have. They renounce all that, now they're part of this family. And as they renounce all of that, that basically means all the debts, all the things, all the problems, all the issues are resolved because this family now assumes all of that. And they're made a son. And they go through this process, and as you're made a son, basically the whole purpose was inheritance. And not only inheritance, but also, guess what? All the power, all the influence of the family that you have been adopted into. Now, I don't know if you and I understand the magnitude of that for us. That you and I, before we know Christ, were a slave to sin. Destined for wrath. So Jesus now saves us by dying on the cross and freeing us to be free people. But God does an extra step. That he adopts us into his family. When we're adopted into God's family, that basically means that you and I, we have a new identity. For those of us who have lived life long enough, you know that the search for identity is a search that really has plagued humanity for quite a long time. Most of us assume we know who we are. Most of us assume that we have an identity. But if we're honest enough, our identity quite a lot of times in the way that we live our life is like a flip-flop. It just flips one way and flips to the other. Because when we think about our identity, for those of us who are young, we're always trying to figure out who we are. We're always trying to see if we're this or that, and most of us would base our identity on what we do. We base our identity on what we do. We base our identity on who we know. And we begin to form this construct of this identity. But in reality, a lot of times, it's not the identity that God gave us. Because you and I have a new identity. But the reality is, why do we feel as a church, our church vision is to restore identity through Jesus for the sake of the world? Why do we believe that it is so essential for us to restore our identity? Well, first, let me give you a reason why. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost their identity. When they were created by God to enjoy the presence of God in the garden, they had an identity. And that identity was they were part of God's family. When they rejected God by disobeying them, everybody that was born after that lost their identity. So you can say that the whole journey of the Bible really is about God's story and re-bringing back people back to their true identity in Christ Jesus. And so when we say as a church that we're longing to bring a restoration of identity through Jesus, we're saying that we want people to come to a full realization of who they are in Christ Jesus. Because we're told that in order for us, the process of this that takes place is that how do we get this new identity? Scripture tells us this, that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been given the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this, that the Holy Spirit is a guaranteed deposit of our salvation. Romans here tells us that the Spirit of God testify with our spirit, what? That we're children of God. Actually, if you and I have a relationship with God, if you and I believe in Jesus, and we've received the gospel, we have been given the Holy Spirit. And if we've been given the Holy Spirit always reminds us of who we are. That we belong to God. And so, if we don't know who we are, and we never get a reminder of who we are, we really have to ask the question, have we really received the good news of the gospel? Because the good news of the gospel says that you and I, we have a new identity. We're no longer slaves. But we have this new identity. And with this new identity, also says that we have all the authority of the family that you and I belong in. Right? You know what's the scary thing about Christians? We're powerful people who live a very weak life. You don't believe me. We're very powerful people, but we live a very weak life. We have been given all authority on heaven and on earth, right? Jesus says, right? All authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now I give it to you and I send you out. So we have all the power and authority of heaven and earth, just as Christ has. But we live very weak lives. We live our life like we have no authority, we have no power. Because you and I really don't understand and really believe what does it mean to be a child of God with this new identity in Christ Jesus. That we have power and authority. That we can make things happen. But most times we're either overwhelmed by the circumstances that happens in our life because things just doesn't go the way that we want and we feel weak and we feel defeated. Well, sometimes that's Satan trying to kick you down and keep you down. But we forget one of the most powerful things about this is as a child of God, we have authority. But we choose to live the weak life. That is a choice that you and I make because we do not fully grasp our true identity as a child of God. That as a child of God, when I pray, things can happen. Most of us go, well, I'm afraid God doesn't hear me. I'm afraid to ask God of that. But the Bible tells us that when we pray, stuff will happen. Because of our identity in Christ Jesus, and with that identity comes with all the authority of it as well. Because, I mean, if you're adopted in a family, you have no authority, you're just a slave. You have no authority or power of that family, you're just a slave. But when you are adopted into a family, all the power and authority of that family is upon you. That's what adoption means. That's what it means to have this new identity. And so most of us, we're still living this weak life. And we're living our life in fear. And we're living our life not hearing the Spirit testifying with our spirit that we're a child of God. You know, some of you already know that I'm a big advocate of addressing the issues of our soul. Because as we address the issue of our soul, then we remove the blockages in for us to be able to hear the Spirit testify with our spirit that we belong to God. The reason why most of us don't hear the Spirit testify with our spirit that we're a child of God is we got too much junk in between. We have too much junk. Right? You know, back in the days, I would just, you know, just lump it all as, oh, it's sin. But it's more than just sin. It's the distortion of how we see ourselves. Because we allow the world to testify more about who we really are than the Spirit to testify. We listen to the world more than we listen to the Spirit of God. Because the world says, you need to have this, you need to have this in order to be somebody. But the Spirit of God constantly testifies that we belong to God. And as we belong to God, you know, there's inheritance that comes along with it. I mean, when you are belong a part of a family, there's also inheritance that comes along with it. And that inheritance for us is eternity with God through sonship and adoption. Unless you and I begin to fully grasp this new identity, unless we begin to really take the time to allow the Spirit testify with our spirit, then you and I will always fall short of what our identity in Christ Jesus is. Right? Jesus says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to go and it will go. Why did Jesus say that? Because it's very simple. It has a lot to do with your authority as part of God's family. That's why you're able to do that. Jesus says you can cast out demons. You can perform miracles. Why can you do that? Because, not because it's a super Christian. The fact is because this person has acknowledged their true identity in Christ Jesus. And as they have acknowledged their true identity in Christ Jesus, they also recognize their true authority in Christ Jesus. But we're content with living the weak Christian life. And the reason why we're content with living the weak Christian life is we're listening too much of what the world says and not enough of what the Spirit is testifying about who we are in Christ Jesus. That you and I have been adopted in
to God's family.
And when we're adopted into God's family, guess what? We're not the only one that's adopted. There's a larger family. But most of us are content in just living the individualistic Christian life and saying, well, my life's my life. Whatever I want is whatever I want. I can care less about anybody else. That's not a family. That's not a family. Right? But the Spirit of God testifies that we belong to God. And we belong to God's family. And as He testifies that we belong to God's family, that we're co-heirs with Christ, and as we're adopted into God's family, there's this powerful word that Paul says. He says the word Abba. Right? The Apostle Paul is unpacking all of this profound legal understanding of the Roman world, theological understanding of the world, and all of a sudden he says, by this we can call God the Father, Abba. The powerful God of all creation of heaven and earth, and we get to call him Daddy. That's profound love, isn't it? That's profound intimacy and privilege. Right? Not everybody can call me Daddy. One of my kids. Right? My kids can come in anytime they want, pull my arm, and they also want to snuggle with me and say, Daddy. Right? I mean, you guys try to do that? Boundaries, please. I love you. Not that much. Right? But seriously. That's the privilege that we have. That you are, guess, you know, what's like my kids. When I'm busy, I mean, you know, back in the COVID days, we all understand the, you know, virtual meetings and things like that. I'm in a meeting with someone on Zoom, and my kids will barge in and say, Daddy, where are you? Daddy! And then all of a sudden jump on my lap and then just, you know, making all these faces while on Zoom. I mean, it looks ridiculous. I'm trying to feel embarrassed here. But because they understand that I'm their daddy, they can do whatever they want with that. Because there's no fear. There's no fear. Most of us fear God. Because we don't understand that relationship with God. That we have been made heirs. That we've been adopted into God's family. And because of that, you and I do not need to live in fear of God. Some of us in prayer, you know, we talk to God like we're talking to a stranger. We're afraid to tell him stuff. They're like, well, you know, God, yeah, okay, bye. But when you have a relationship with God, and you see Him as Abba Father, and you realize that who you are is a child of God, it radically changes the way that you see God and the way that you interact with God. Not only does it radically change the way that you see God and interact with God, it radically changes the way that you live your life because you choose no longer to live the weak life. Because you know your authority in Christ Jesus. You know that as a child of God, stuff happens when I pray. And you know, as a child of God, if something's going on in my life, wrong, I'm going to go tell Daddy. Right? That, you know, when we're young, somebody's bullying us, we go tell Daddy. Right? When things aren't going well in our life, you know what? We can go to the Father. We have full access. We can barge in anytime we want. That's our privilege as being a child of God. And so the gospel is really good news. You and I are sons and daughters of God. And as sons and daughters of God, you know what that means? I'm a prince. You're a prince. You're a prince. You're a princess. I'm royalty in the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of this world.
He's just like that. You know, when I was a teenager, I tried to figure out what my identity was. And some of you, you can relate with me. You're trying to figure out who you are. You know, you think like maybe if I know these people, then they'll kind of give me an identity. If I hang out with this group, they'll give me an identity. Maybe if I study hard enough and I get achievement and people see me, then I'll have identity and purpose. Just chasing after all the wrong identity. We don't need to chase for our identity. We don't need to find our identity. It's already been given to us. You and I. Imagine what our life would look like if we begin to really recognize and to begin to live out our life as children of God. I guarantee you this. When we begin to live out our life as a child of God, we won't feel unseen. We won't feel unloved. We won't feel unwanted. We won't feel alone. We won't feel rejected, abandoned. We won't feel that we're not good enough. Because every time when those emotions come, the Spirit with our spirit, it's hope. That is what it means. So, when you and I receive the gospel, it's not just about the inheritance of going into heaven. Gospel is really good news. Because through Jesus, I have a new identity. That we're sons and daughters. Powerful picture. A powerful truth. That's right. Some of us this morning, when we talk about being a son and daughter of God, it's very foreign for us. Because maybe some of us, we have absent parents in our life. I mean, they were present, but they never knew how to emotionally validate us. They never
postures I would learn to get myself in the position of receiving. It's just a simple act of opening up my hands. Would you do that this afternoon as we respond to God? As we wait for the Spirit to testify where our spirit that would belong to God? Would you open up your hands? That is who we are. That we are your sons. And that we are your daughters. I want to repeat that once again. That we are your sons. And that we are your daughters. God, my prayer for each and every single one of us will be that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, throughout this week, will continue to testify with our spirit that we belong to God, that we are loved by God, that we are a child of God. Regardless of whatever struggles we face this coming week, whatever doubts that we may have, whatever shortcomings that we may have, May the Spirit testify with our spirit that we are a child of God. And as you go forth this week, may you hold on to that truth. May you belong to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming and worshiping along with us. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week.